Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of the Five Heart Podcast. Greg Mahochko here, along with our founder and fearless leader of Coronation.com, John Dam Johnston. Hello, John.
How are you doing, Greg?
I'm doing great. The 251st episode of the Five Heart Podcast. And we normally don't dip our toes outside of the Coronation water, but we are thrilled, dare I say downright tickled, to have from our Purdue site, hammerandrails.com, Mr. Travis Miller back on the show. Travis, welcome back. Good to see you, friend.
Good to see you, too. I mean, we have corn here in Indiana, so I guess we can get along that way. It's just, it's different corn, I guess. I don't know.
Wait a minute. You have corn, but you don't know what it is?
I didn't grow up on a farm. I grew up in town, if you will. If a town of 50,000 people can be considered the city.
Okay, well, I grew up in a town of 1,000 people, and people gave me shit for not growing up on a farm. So, you know what I mean?
We have, don't worry, Travis, I'm in Illinois. We have corn here too. So, you know, we really are a corn nation.
Yeah, it's corn from Ohio to Nebraska, and then from Southern Illinois up to Minnesota.
Hey, you can eat it. You can feed it to cows and get the beef. You can turn it into a libation. You can turn it into fuel. It's a perfect plant.
Absolutely.
We should probably move on to football or something.
I don't think any of us are well versed enough in agriculture to just carry on that conversation for the remainder of the show. So let's dive into it. Of course, Nebraska, Purdue meeting up this weekend. And Nebraska coming off the bye week, and Purdue has had Travis, I mean, tell us your perspective, because Purdue's you know, they've flashed some brilliance here and there, and sometimes they look more like the Purdue we've known. so what's the Purdue perspective from your camp?
I mean, I would say the defense has been a very pleasant surprise. It was a disaster last year with your good friend Bob Diaco. I know he's a big fan of you guys are big fans of him, but it was just so strange because the first two games last season we had George Karlaftis and the defense worked, and then he went down. He had an ankle injury, then he got COVID. I think he played just a couple of snaps the last four games, and the defense was a disaster. But he's back this year and everything was kind of overhauled. And really, the defense has been the story. It's kept us in games. It kept the Oregon State game close before we kind of busted it open late in the fourth quarter. It kept us alive against Illinois of all teams. It kept us in the Minnesota game. I mean, it's been doing its job, but let's be honest, we're paying Jeff Brohm $5 million a year to score more than 13 points a game. And that's exactly what we've scored, 13 points in four of the last five games. So the offensive numbers are pretty bad if you kick out the UConn game, which, I mean, that's UConn. Anybody in a Power 5 conference should be putting up 49 points on UConn, to be honest.
I didn't realize it was that low scoring.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought, you know, I knew that your defense was vastly improved, but I didn't realize you were on, what is it, 14?
13.
Yeah. 13.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Lost 27-13, lost 27-13 to Notre Dame, beat Illinois 13-9, lost 20-13 to Minnesota, and then lost 30-13 last week. And even last week's 13, give six to the defense. George Karlaftis had a 52-yard fumble return for a touchdown. So that's only seven for the offense last week. I'm not taking those defensive points away. They earned those.
I feel like Purdue's, dare I say, track record with the number 13 is on par with Nebraska's, you know, results, outcomes in a one-score game. You know, it's just a bad habit from both teams. I also feel like, you know, from our vantage point, you know, the defense has been the more consistent aspect of Nebraska's play this year. And I keep going, you know, you mentioned the Purdue Illinois outcome. Everybody knows that Illinois beat Nebraska in week zero, and then they turn around and, you know, make history beating Penn State the way they did, you know, last weekend. So for whatever reason, and John has said it a few times here on the show, this is the madness and the mayhem of college football, kind of in the dichotomy. It's in the microcosm of the Big Ten.
Mm-hmm. I mean, look what we did with Iowa. I mean, we controlled that game at Iowa. Yeah. I mean, it was a win. They probably weren't the number two team in the country, but that was their ranking at the time. And it was our first win on the road against a top 10 team since 1974. And then they put up that graphic of Purdue has 9 wins over teams in the top, either ranked either number one or number two, while being unranked, the next highest team has 4. So essentially what we do is if we get to October and we just wreck your shit if you're ranked number one or two, number two. So just out of nowhere. And then
it's 1974.
Yeah. The last one we had over a top 10 team away from home was 1974 at Notre Dame. And
wow.
And everybody was excited. It's like, yeah, we look great. Wisconsin's a worse version of Iowa. We got them at home and Wisconsin did what Wisconsin does to us every year. I mean, it was a close game. I mean, it was 13 all at halftime. We had the ball in Wisconsin territory down 7 with about 12, 13 minutes to go. And we went, we got a penalty and then threw an interception. And then that was the game. And they again, defense did their job, but they got worn down because the offense wasn't doing anything. The best offensive drive we had was off of a fumble, 39 yards, a 39 yard touchdown drive. And they sat on us and then they just ran the football, which Wisconsin always runs the football, shock of shocks. And we were actually, it was an interesting game because we actually threw an interception. They ran it down to the 1. So they had first and goal from the 1 and we held them out of the end zone. We held them to a field goal. That never happens against Wisconsin. That's a gift. And we still couldn't take advantage of it and get anything going offensively. So, I mean, who knows what's going to happen this week? I really don't know.
What is the problem with the offense? I mean, you've got David Bell and you've got quarterbacks that obviously don't throw interceptions. Otherwise, Iowa would have beat you because everybody gives them free points.
Well, there's didn't throw interceptions in that game.
Okay.
Yes. There's no running game. There's absolutely no running game right now.
Have they even tried it?
Xander Horvath did really, really well against Oregon State. He had a series of good games. He was over 100 yards against Oregon State. He broke his leg in the UConn game. That was the worst thing that could have happened against UConn. And he was by far the top back. They had surgery. They think he could come back. But they not this week, most likely. They keep doing the well, not this week, well, not this week. So, I mean, maybe you see him sometime in November, but it was a big drop off from him. The offensive line's been a mess. What really hurt the offensive line is over the summer, I think they had 3 or 4 medical retirements, and they were guys that, may not be starters, but they're quality depth guys. And I think Brohm said at one point, he's like, yeah, we got 6 guys that we trust to be in a Big Ten game on the offensive line, which you need more than that. And I already looked at the injury report this week and it's like 2 guys are questionable. And they're like, oh, that's only our 2 best linemen. And then you have Aiden O'Connell. Jack Plummer has not thrown an interception all year. He started the season as a starting quarterback. I know you guys are familiar with him. He's played pretty well against you. But O'Connell, his first significant action was the game 2 years ago when he led that game winning drive. And then he's had some great moments in his career, but he's been real wild with the football this year. And he's the type of quarterback that he does well. And then until he throws that first interception, and then the first one makes the second one more likely. And the second one makes the third even more likely. And that's kind of what happened last week. He did come into the Illinois game. He threw 2 picks, but still organized the game-winning drive there in just an absolutely awful, ugly-looking game. But last week, he started pretty well and then threw a pick and then threw another one. And he officially finished with 3. I thought he had 4, but they ruled it a reception and a fumble, one of those plays. But yeah, and it's just – If he can avoid picks, he can have a game like he did against Iowa. He didn't throw a pick at all against Iowa. He was great at rolling out of the pocket. But if he can't get any protection from the line, or he's not terribly mobile, and if he takes a sack, if he has a fumble, things start to go sideways in a hurry for him. So it's just avoiding that first big mistake for him. Otherwise, he can play with a lot of confidence, and he's been pretty good.
Wow. So what's the deal with Jeff Brohm? I mean, I think he's a good coach. I think his offense, is an offensive guy. And now you say he's only scoring 13 points a play a game. What is the problem here?
I think the biggest question is he has not shored up the offensive line in the 5 years he's been here. But what gives me some confidence is he saw a glaring deficiency last season with the defense and went out and fixed it. I mean, it's fixed. That was fixed this year. And so I'm like, okay, he'll see it this year in the offensive line and go out and try to fix it next year. And I think we've got some promising freshmen, but if you're running true freshmen out on the offensive line of the Big Ten, you're not going to have a lot of success. I mean, next year's starters are probably in the weight room right now, redshirting, and he's got some promising, recruits coming in, but it's a depth issue and it's a talent issue this year. And he's kind of had that every year. And then he's got to get more of a running game. The 2018 season was probably his best offensive season. He had two really good running backs in DJ Knox and Markell Jones, and they were able to consistently get 120, 150 yards. Last week, I think we had minus 12 yards rushing. So, literally, I ran for more yards than Purdue did last week.
Is there any talk, Travis, about Brohm being on a hot seat or nothing like that? Or
people want him to, but let's be realistic. With his contract, he is not going anywhere until the end of next season. I mean, we don't have the money to pay out his contract. And this team is better than last year. They have shown improvement. And I wanted to see this team get to a bowl because I thought that would be real tangible improvement, and that's still possible. I mean, with the Iowa win, you're sitting at 4. You're looking right now at a worst case scenario of going into your last two games against Northwestern and Indiana, and it's might be on a 4-game losing streak. We got Northwestern and Indiana here as winnable games. I know that's a phrase that's a touchy subject for you guys, but but they're winnable games.
Daggers, just. We're going to die by small cuts at a time, you bastard. Thanks a lot.
But those are games at the end of the season. It's like, okay, we can beat Northwestern. We could beat Indiana. You get to a bowl game, then it's like, all right, it didn't go well, but it's better than the last two seasons. You still got to build on it next year, though. And you're going to have to build on it next year without your two best players because Karloftis and Bell are going to the NFL. I'm sorry. Yeah. I mean, they're gone. I don't blame them. They deserve it. They're going to earn it. But, man, it's going to be tricky to build without them next year.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gara Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds 4 times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Travis, I'm going to say something that is probably going to piss off, a lot of the Husker fans who are listening. And I don't mean this in any disparaging way about Purdue, but I feel like Nebraska and Purdue are on the same like train tracks, because mm-hmm. I also feel like Nebraska is better this year than they were last year. I look at, they hung in there with Oklahoma. They hung in there with Michigan State, with Michigan. You know, they handled business against Northwestern, and it all just, you know, fell flat against Minnesota, you know, a couple weeks back. But I do feel like overall this, you know, they're playing better. However, because I don't know if it's expectations or what, there's still a very large contingent, very vocal. It's either a large contingent or a vocal minority somewhere in there who are saying Frost has to go. You know, what is your perception, you know, from the outside looking in, when you look at Nebraska and all the flaws, you know, some of the offensive line play that has been shaky, you know, at times and perhaps undisciplined, but what is your opinion of Nebraska, where it's at right now?
The biggest thing that I've seen from our fans, just kind of hearing the chatter and whatnot, is Nebraska football is often compared to Indiana basketball in that you have this historical success that is now, you know, unfortunately for you guys, decades ago. And it's expected that success can be brought back immediately. And, you know, you're kind of seeing it right now with IU basketball. They bring in the favored son, Mike Woodson. And I saw a post hilariously this week from some IU fans like, yeah, they can go 28-3 this year.
Oh my God, I saw that.
Game. They'll lose one game, a stupid game like at Wisconsin or something. I'm like, 28-3? What the heck? 28-3? Are you serious? I mean, I'm a Purdue fan. We have a top 10 team. We have a legit top 10 team. I don't even think we're going 28-3. But you expect a team that hasn't made the tournament in 4 years to suddenly know how to shoot and play smart basketball and go 28-3? Are you kidding me? But
wait a minute. That's what you see us as? Those crazy people?
Well, I mean, you kind of saw that when Frost got hired. It was he's immediately going to do this. And that's unfortunately how the Scott Frost Day meme started.
We were having conversations in December of 2017 after he was hired. We had conversations on this podcast. Maybe it was off the record, so maybe it wasn't recorded, but myself and one of the former, legs of the tripod, as we called ourselves, Haas Reuter, were like, 2021, man, we better get those national championship tickets ready to go. We had those thoughts. I'm secure enough to admit it.
I never thought that ever.
Well, John, that's because you're a negative son of a bitch.
All right.
Again, I go back to basketball. Everyone's like, we can go to the Final Four in New Orleans this year. This is it. We got our best team ever. And I'm like, I've been a Purdue fan my entire life. What god-awful thing is going to happen to kick us in the dick? I was in the building for the Virginia game. I was sitting on press row. If you watch the replay of that shot for Virginia, you can see me surrender Cobra. I'm that close. And it's just, that was I'm such a guarded Purdue fan. The only time I even allowed myself to think we were winning that game was when the ball got tipped back into the backcourt on that play. And I looked back and I was like, the clock's running. That's either going out of bounds or they're going to have to heave one in from 60 feet. We're going to the Final Four. And I got kicked in the dick within 5 seconds. So I wish that I could be that confident about something, but I am to the point of something will always happen. And that's why I've joked this offseason when they revealed the Big Ten basketball schedule and had us going up to Minnesota in early February, since something always seems to happen with Minnesota, either football or basketball. Rondale Moore got hurt against Minnesota. Robbie Hummel got hurt against Minnesota. Robbie Hummel got hurt again when we were playing Minnesota in football. I was like, don't even bother going to the game. Forfeit it now. If you do go, leave Jaden Ivey at home. I don't care.
So how have you maintained being a Purdue fan through all of this?
They sell alcohol.
A football fan. I mean, I know you're a basketball fan.
Oh, football's not as bad. Football is like, keep me happy. I'm like, give me the occasional bowl game. I got to go to the Rose Bowl. I know that we've been to two Rose Bowls in our entire history, and I got to go to one of them. I mean, that's fine. Keep me happy. Give me the occasional 7-8 win season. I'm pretty good. And we haven't even had an 8-win season in 15 years, but it's basketball is one of those. I mean, it's my sports white whale. Now I'm a Cubs fan. I got to see the Cubs win the World Series. Getting to Final Four is like the whatever, man. I don't care what we have to do, whatever we have to do. And I'm not going to, after what happened in 2019, I'm going to look at the scoreboard with triple zeros and us leading, and I'm still going to think something's going to happen.
Right. I think we're getting to that point with Nebraska football.
And Travis, you used a phrase that is pretty popular, you know, on the internet, but could you demonstrate for our viewers on YouTube? You said surrender Cobra, please, you know, for the uninformed. Yeah, right. It's the, oh my God, I can't believe that just happened. You know,
the two times I can remember doing it are that Virginia game, and I did it on press row when you're supposed to be, you know, all serious and everything. But I mean, it was the Final Four. There were six Purdue fans sitting behind me, and if they had won the game, I probably would have stage dived into them. But the only other time I can think I did it was in football. It was the Kyle Orton fumble against Wisconsin when he's a foot from being down, and we were number five in the nation. And it was, you know, it was the one time where you thought, hey, maybe Purdue can play for a national championship in football. And he fumbles and it's run back for a touchdown. And you're just sitting there like, what just happened?
Why do the gods hate us? Tell us about George.
Karloftis?
Yes.
Oh, he's a bad man. He is so fun to watch, and he demands a double team. He gets held a lot, and he still causes havoc. He doesn't have a ton of sacks this year, but he causes enough. He gets enough attention that it frees up other guys. I know last week he had the fumble six, and he didn't cause the fumble. It was the corner coming off the edge, but he stripped Mertz, and Karloftis was right there, picked it up, and took off. And so, you know, I love that he got a defensive touchdown before he left. I said very seriously his senior year of high school, he would have been our best defensive lineman that year as a senior in high school. And then I looked up the stats that he had per the IHSAA, because he took West Lafayette. They won the like their class's state title. He had, I think, 106 tackles and 53 of them for loss for like 17 and a half sacks in 14 high school games, 50 plus tackles for loss. I mean, this guy was unfair. He was a cheat code that year. And
you said he went to West Lafayette?
Yes, he went to West Lafayette.
He's a homegirl boy.
Yeah, he apparently moved here from, I think his family is from Greece, actually. And they moved here when he was like an early teenager, and he just took off and became an absolute stud. And we were able to keep him in the backyard. You know, that's one of Brom's biggest recruiting wins, is he just kind of had to go a couple. I mean, you can literally walk to West Lafayette High School from the football offices, and he was able to keep him home.
What's Brom's secret for keeping in-state talent in-state? You know, he should maybe share some of those tips with Scott Frost, because we don't have that success for the big ones, you know, for the golden boys.
A lot of them do still end up at Notre Dame or Ohio State or anything. But, you know, the biggest difference, I think, between Brom and Hazel, who was before him, is Brom actually just asked. I mean, Karloftis was a four-star. He went over and offered him a scholarship and recruited him, got him and everything else. I'm thinking of a player by the name of Coy Cronk, who was another kid, played at Lafayette Central Catholic, was a four-star offensive lineman. Hazel never even bothered to offer him. And from the rumors that I've heard, is if he had offered, he would have accepted. And Hazel couldn't go across town to offer him. And what did we need? We needed help on the offensive line. One of many reasons that Daryl Hazel is no longer employed. That and he right. sucks as a football coach.
So one of the things we always do here, the Five Heart Podcast, and for the benefit of you and you know, the cross promotion of Hammer and Rails, we dropped this on Friday morning. So one of the things we do at Five Heart is we get a prediction, and you can pander to the Husker faithful, or you can, you know, be honest. But how do you foresee? because I'm looking at it, and I was talking with a coworker of mine who follows a lot of Big Ten. He's a Notre Dame fan, but you know, he follows a lot of, you know, Big Ten stuff. And so we were talking about the win over Iowa. He's like, well, yeah, maybe you'll get Purdue on a still an emotional high. I said, yeah, but they lost to Wisconsin. So he's like, oh, never mind. So do you feel like they're going to have that? I joked. I said, I don't want the Purdue that played Iowa, you know, give me a different Purdue team. But how do you foresee things going down on Saturday?
This is one of the hardest games to predict because you got two chaos teams. I mean, you got two teams that you don't know week to week what's going to happen. I know you guys, just have that tendency to just have what, 2, 3, 4 boneheaded plays a game where you're just like, what the hell's going on?
And it's the quality of them. No, it's not the quantity because they happen at the most imperfect times, you know. So I didn't mean to cut you off, but I wanted to do
it. No, you're fine. But I mean, both teams are a bag of cats. I mean, let's face it. You know, you could see you guys could hang 45 points out of nowhere because Martinez is that good. Martinez could twist his ankle and you're done 3 plays in and whatnot. I mean, he's a guy that Purdue has seen a lot, so I think that helps. You know, he's had a lot of success against Purdue individually, but I think he's lost 2 of the 3 games. So, you know, he's nobody new that we're going to have to get used to. And you know what you're getting with him. My biggest concern is the offense has just been an absolute mess. There's been no consistency whatsoever. They put Bell in a box last week. Can you guys do that? I mean, it's nice that we faced the 3 best Big Ten defenses in the last 3 games. And so you guys, you know, theoretically are an easier defense, but we couldn't do anything against Illinois for 3.5 hours. So, I mean, I don't know. I am not happy with this offense right now. I'm not confident. You know, I could see us losing like 31-14 and just, you know, not do anything. You guys kind of break it open late as our defense gets exhausted. You know, and as I say that, you know, all of a sudden they figure things out and O'Connell goes out and throws for 450 yards and 5 touchdowns. I don't know.
Right.
I just don't know against, I don't know with this team. I just want 2 more wins to get to a damn bowl game. That's all.
You have to make a choice.
I'm leaning more towards we're not going to do anything defensively or offensively, I should say. I mean, we have no running game. None.
Right.
I mean, King Doru had a good game against Minnesota, but we still lost like 40 yards in sacks. And
give us a score.
We pasted the Iowa game running game together by playing 3 quarterbacks on multiple drives, and then tried the same thing against Wisconsin. And they figured out that if the other 2 guys are in, it means you're probably running.
Do you have a score?
I'm going 31-14, you guys. I have no confidence in this offense right now. I'm going to be completely honest.
Well, you'll probably win 14-10 then.
wait. We're going to give up a safety.
It's not right. It's, you know.
So 14 to
we lose all games by 1 score. When we go into basketball season, we're going to lose every game by 2 points. It's a curse.
Right.
I don't know what it is.
You got to find it.
This close, Travis.
You got to find a game to lose with prime number scores. Those are the best.
Make me think that much about math. All right, Travis, as we wrap things up, we always have a particular way that we end the show. Usually I say the same thing, and then John says the same thing. And if there's like a Purdue slogan, motto, fight chant, song that you want to sing, whatever it might be, you certainly have the ability to do that if you're willing and able.
Oh yeah, of course.
All right.
It was established by the late great Joe Teller. God rest his soul. I love that guy. He looked like my dad.
I liked watching his offenses when he was there.
Well, yeah, I was there as a student when he started, and I was there for the entire Breeze era as a student. And when Breeze had the Breeze to Morales pass to beat Ohio State that all but clinched the Rose Bowl for us. I was so deliriously happy that if he had announced he was going to walk across the Wabash, I'd be like, all right, I'm following you down to the riverbank, man. Let's do this.
Before we go, tell everybody where they can find you on social media and, of course, hammerandrails.com.
Yeah, we're at hammerandrails.com. Our site Twitter is at hammerandrails, so all one word. And then I am at just T-Mill, so that's JustTmill. And, you know, I tweet whatever's in my head. You'll probably like some of it. Probably some of it you won't like, but I don't care.
That's perfect. It's Twitter and it's all make-believe anyway. So we want to thank you very much, Travis, for being a part of this show, for taking time out of your schedule. And or come hell or high water on Saturday, there's going to be a football game played, and that's about all we can say.
At least a football-like substance.
That's right. It's something that will, you know, resemble it, it's like the GoBots of college football. You know, it's ooh, close, but it's not quite there.
Good reference. I remember GoBots.
So for our esteemed guest and colleague from a brother from another mother type of situation in SB Nation, Travis Miller, he's John Johnston. I'm Greg Mahochko. I remind you this week and every week that five hearts is all the hearts you need. John?
Go Big Red.
And Travis. Boiler up.